So something that we need to know about this King Herod, and you probably have heard of it, you recognize the name, is it is not the same king whom we know from the birth of Jesus narrative that comes in the Gospels. Even though both of their actions, we can parallel both of their actions, both of their actions are motivated by greed and fear and selfishness, and as a result, innocent people died in both instances. So recalling the story of the first Herod that comes to our minds in the narrative, in the birthday narrative of Jesus, this king felt threatened by the birth of Jesus. Jealousy is what motivates his actions. If you remember the story when the Magi came, the three kings or the kings of the East to pay Jesus homage, this king feels threatened by the thought that another king was being born somewhere. And so he wanted to find out where was this king, right? So the response was, his core of action was motivated by his self-centered being, his egocentricity, right? So he tells the Magi to find this new king, Jesus, and when they found him, to tell him so that he can also pay him homage. But we know that his intention was to kill Jesus, right? What happened is that the Magi came back, or they did not come back to King Herod. And so what does King Herod does? He becomes a madman and orders throughout the kingdom of for every boy under the age of 2 to be slaughtered. So sad day, innocent children, babies died, were slaughtered by the order of a king who felt insecure, right? His actions were motivated by fear and jealousy, his self-centered way. He thought he was losing power. He thought he was losing control. It is dangerous when we operate from this place of self-centeredness, madness, because this can lead to unjust death, just like we see it. Herod lost control of recognizing other humans other than himself. He put his own self as the ultimate power over others, and this, we know, led to sin, to death, to a dark place. Now, the King Herod that we read in our gospel today was the son of this other Herod. He had not met Jesus, but had heard of Jesus. But this also caused fear in him, but this was a different type of fear. It was rooted in guilt and shame, right? He thought that it was the spirit of John the Baptist who dwelt in the person of Jesus, and he was coming to get revenge. The King Herod, his ego also led to the death of an innocent person, John the Baptist, right? Whom he respected, whom he really liked. He even protected John the Baptist until he, in a moment of foolishness, asked his daughter that he will grant whatever she wished, even the whole kingdom or half of the kingdom. And I'm saying this foolishness because he was not in charge of the whole kingdom. He was just a ruler of a certain area of the kingdom, right? So obviously he was just speaking out of just in the moment. Well, to his surprise, Herodias' daughter consulted with her mom, and she asked for John Baptist's head on a plate, which is very brutal, right? Does not make us feel good when we hear that image today, where we're trying to picture that image. And my question has always been, how come he just didn't correct the action? You know, why did he still do it? He did have some power. He was in a position of power. If he had ultimate power, as he has said, he could have asked her to choose something else, right? But I think that there's some things involved here. I think in trying to understand why he went through his mind, I think that if he would had changed his mind, he would have lost honor, the respect of others in the room who were witnessing this, the admiration that he perhaps have worked so hard in gaining, in giving his word to something and then following through. Obviously, he felt very pressured by the social setting that he was in. He also would have jeopardized his position because in the past, there were these royal marriages, right? So when you marry somebody else, there were instruments of international, there was international politics, right? So he did not want to jeopardize that relationship. So there was a lot at stake for him. I think he still could have used his power to avoid this, to deviate from the original plans. But the thought of going through societal shame for a moment was unbearable for Herod if he refused to grant the wish of his wife's daughter. And this unjust death was also, again, motivated by anger, by someone who held a grudge against John the Baptizer. Herodias did not like to hear the truth. So she acted out of anger, which led to a death that didn't need to happen. Don't you think you wish that unnecessary things such as this did not happen? Unnecessary death, innocent people. It just happened a few days ago, or yesterday, was it? An innocent person died in a shooting at a presidential campaign rally, right? What we perhaps can learn is that losing ourselves to our self-centered persona can lead to a tragedy such as this. I think we sometimes could be this king. We are this King Herod. Or sometimes we are the other type of Herod. Sometimes we are the wife. Because we perhaps have acted also based on pressures, societal pressures that threatens to shame us. Perhaps we also have found ourselves being surrounded by people that we really like, but we are afraid to tell them how we really feel because we don't want to lose friendship, lose honor, lose our popularity. So we are afraid to be honest, to share our opinions, how we feel. At the core of this, I think, is shame, right? Who wants to face shame from friends and family, especially when we have gained their respect and their admiration? The good news is that even in such a person such as Herod, a madman, someone who acted irresponsibly and who had to carry the burden of an innocent death, I still feel like God was very present in his life, right? We see that he grieved. He felt ashamed for what happened to John the Baptizer. He felt guilty. He grieved deeply. And I think he wished he could reverse things and change the past. But we know he couldn't. We cannot. The reality is that we cannot undo the harm. But we can start over. We can learn from our mistakes. We can ask for forgiveness. Part of this process of asking forgiveness, which is the hardest, is to strip ourselves from that egocentric self. This false power that we create for ourselves and have at times lost ourselves to. But God desires for us to be stripped away from all of that anger, self-centeredness, shame, and to come to God with honesty as well with others. Because the promise is that God will be there to embrace us. Whatever our brokenness, God promises to love us. The good news today is that God is also very present in this process, in the midst of our struggles, because we know that Jesus is the ultimate judge. and hearing his voice can cause both for all shaming us for all the wrong that we've done, but also can create comfort knowing that Christ is there forgiving us. And that is what Jesus offers us. And that is the God who we believe. A God who do not punish us, but to help us to see our reality apart from full notions of ourselves, and to love us and to heal us. So my prayer today is that we may come to God, recognize that brokenness, and to be filled with God's love and mercy, and that our actions may be motivated by grace and love rather than greed and self-centeredness. Amen.